You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Johnny Manziel gave a statement, and his statement is this. I'd like to thank the Browns for the opportunity they gave me nearly 2 years ago. We all hoped that we were building what could be a championship team for Cleveland. I will always remember the support I received from the organization, my teammates, and especially the fans.
You know what? He always knows the right thing to say, and he never does the right thing. Good riddance. I was on your bandwagon from the beginning. I hope you get help and all that good stuff, but enough. Enough of the PR machine. Goodbye.
And unfortunately, what's
goodbye now?
What's so sad about this is, he's not going to land anywhere else.
CFL.
It will be interesting to see.
He might be going to CFL.
Supposedly, talking to a couple NFL sources, there was one team that was close to making a last second offer for Johnny Manziel. Obviously, it would have been just a conditional pick, but there was one team that considered it.
He should go to Canada. I don't think they have as stringent a drug testing policies up in the CFL, and that's his type of field. You know, a little wider field. He could run around, create some room.
That's 19-year-old drinking age, or 18, whatever it is.
Well, clearly he doesn't have any interest in not doing that. I mean, he was, again, in Vegas last week. And
Hollywood the last couple days.
By the way, the Blue just won 72-69 on a last-second trifecta.
And I think that will put him in the tourney. But they're not good. They're not good.
Who they beat?
They beat Indiana, the number one seed in the tourney. I believe that win will put them into the tourney.
So Iowa's out. Ohio State plays Michigan State.
They're in. Bandy's out.
And you guys play who?
We play the winner of.
Because Iowa got beat already.
Who was the fourth? Yeah, we play the winner of Illinois. Whoever Illinois plays against somebody.
Northwestern. Northwestern beat Iowa.
No, we beat Northwestern yesterday. Illinois beat Iowa.
Okay. Illinois plays Purdue.
So the Illinois-Purdue winner will play the Blue in the semifinals on one half of the draw. You're on the bottom half of the draw with Michigan State and Maryland.
Gotcha.
So
we're in the tougher half.
Yes, you are.
Oof. That hoop squad is not that good this year.
Neither one of them is very good this year.
216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. RG3 on his way to the Big Apple. You like to see him throwing the ball to Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, and your boy Devin Smith.
The Jets are really putting the squeeze on Fitzpatrick, which is smart because nobody out there is giving this guy $15 million a year. Or whatever
he wants, like looking. 18.
This guy's crazy. He may have gone to Harvard, but you know that's not such a smart move. Take what they're offering you and you know be on with your day.
Keep a job.
Exactly. It's finally a place he's had some success. He's made a lot of money in his day. Sign the contract.
And he's what, 30-plus years old?
Got to be. He's got to be like 30, if I'm guessing, 32.
For who? Fitz?
Fitz.
Yeah, he's got to be in his 30s. I mean, he was playing back. He started his career in St. Louis when Mike Martz was still the coach of St. Louis. The genius, I used to call him, because of his Harvard background.
33.
Ryan, you beat me to it. I was looking it up. Born November the 24th, 1982. Ryan Fitzpatrick, seventh round pick of the Rams from Harvard back in 2005. All right, no follow up to that.
Adam
on a cell. Adam.
Yeah, what's up?
What's up?
I love the show. I'm a first time caller, long time listener.
Now,
thank you, bro. Appreciate
it.
No doubt. Now I got a serious question and a comment. If you guys have a chance,
go ahead.
All right, serious question. Now, if you said Hugh Jackson's sick today, and Sashi Brown and that Barry guy,
Andrew Barry,
is that the Ohio State Pro Day?
Correct.
So, how did Johnny Manziel get released when they were there? And if they're there, how are we signing free agents?
Okay,
well there's this really new technology. They're called cellular phones. That you can both text from, email from, and even make a phone call from to a PR staff that could put out a release.
Basically, it was something that was in the works. I'll say it in a nicer way. There's something. It was something that was in the works. And yes, it was just as simple as getting the documentation, which doesn't have to be done by Sashi or Barry, the documentation to the National Football League. We got to find a man named Coop, who I'm sure handled that. The PR putting out the statement, et cetera, and it was done. So on that sense. As for the signing of free agents, Sashi could be on his cell phone talking to agents while he is down there. Hugh is sick. And there's been a lot of sickness going on. By the way, interesting fact. I'm going to give you guys an interest. I'm going to throw this trivia out there. Al Saunders began his coaching career in 1970. Okay? Prior to this, mm-hmm. What do you believe? Prior to coming to the Cleveland Browns organization, how many days of work has Al Saunders missed in his coaching career started in 1970?
Zero.
Has he missed any days?
The answer is zero. Since he's joined the Cleveland Browns staff, how many has he missed?
Zero.
Two. Apparently, these guys got wiped out. I'm talking 104.4 degree fever, Al was telling me. Fever blisters, like, on his lips. Deathbed almost for Mr. Saunders. He said, he's not ready to go. He said, don't put a daisy on me yet. Then he's back in the office bringing the energy. Guy walks by every day and
cranking
demands
out, trying
energy.
Trying to crank us up.
Trying to crank out energy. If I'm pretending to shoot a basketball, he gets very angry and demands it's a football move. So that's what we do.
That's what football. We do. And then we just go on a string of 20-plus one-handed catches.
By the way, Sherry 45-14, Matt Wilhelm, said Matt Wilhelm in snark mode today.
I am in snark mode today.
You were. It was strong. It was a strong snark. All right, let's go to Ken in Cleveland. Ken.
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, go. I'll wait.
I'm just saying, you have been somewhere doing a show. Dino or Gibbs has been somewhere doing a show, and I would be in here sitting by myself doing a show, and somehow three different people in three different places are doing a radio show together.
Yeah.
So technology makes things work.
That's right, baby. That's right. You're right. You're right about that, Matt Wilhelm. 216-578.
Snarky very much.
Yeah, snarky very much. 216-578-0850. Even Bodie on the corner said it was uncharacteristic. Why Matt got to do the dude like that? Matt Wilhelm bringing it. Ken in Cleveland, let's go.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I really like you guys' show. Appreciate that you're not very sensational. I get enough of that. It really irritates me. Just a couple things. One, I'm glad that we're done with Johnny. I didn't really want him in the first place. I think we did everything we could to help him for a lot of time, a lot of effort. Didn't get anything in return. Another thing, as far as the guys from Harvard, I think we all assumed that it was going to be different. And now that we haven't really done a whole lot, it looks like we haven't done a lot. I think everybody's like freaking out. And I think we need to be patient. And if we're going to, like, redo things, now's the time to do it. We only won three games last year.
It's a build. Yeah, it's a build.
You know, and I don't have a problem with that. Do it right or don't do it at all. And I'm one more thing. I'm kind of I wouldn't have a problem if we got Goff, but I'm more of a Carson Wentz guy. I like that he's big. He's mobile. I like that type. So that's all I got, but appreciate your show. Thanks.
Thank
guys.
You very much.
Thank you.
That's going to lead me into the list of last year's top free agents that you guys are out there clamoring for, that we need to sign free agents. How did Dominican Sue work out for those Miami Dolphins? How many games did they win last year, Nate?
Six.
They did not do
correct?
Well.
Julius Thomas, who I'm a big fan of, how many games did the Jacksonville Jaguars win?
Five.
DeMarco Murray, how'd that work out for my guy Chip?
He's on to another team now.
Been traded for a swap of picks in the fourth round.
Hardy in Dallas. How'd that work out? Byron Maxwell in Philly. Torrey Smith in San Fran. And Darrell Revis even in New York.
I have to interrupt you for an important KD watch. 2:15 is the start time. 2:15 is the start time. Carry on.
Darrell Revis, even though he had a pretty good season, certainly wasn't worth the money he signed for. Those are seven of the top free agents that were signed last year. And you people out there are crying that you want us to sign someone. You build through the draft. Look at Baltimore. Look at Green Bay.
But you've got to draft well. And that's what I've said. So Sashi Brown hasn't drafted before, but he will be judged in the success
on how he drafts
and getting that quarterback
Absolutely.
Starting April 20th.
And if he can't draft well, there will be someone else in his seat in a couple years. I mean, that's the facts of the NFL. If you don't draft well, you don't win.
And I do believe that people are more concerned by not retaining at least one of the four guys that left over signing these splash free agents.
Who are the four guys that left? How many games did we win last year?
What?
Our offensive line was awful last year. And I don't even have a trained eye. Matt Wilhelm could tell you with the trained eye, it was pathetic. I could just say awful. So we let two guys go there that we would have had to pay a combined $17 million next year? No thanks. I don't even understand what the controversy is about. These guys were not good players. They're being overpaid to play somewhere else.
Mitchell Schwartz at that price, I'm going to be consistent. I would have kept him at that
price. I wouldn't have minded if they kept Mitchell Schwartz, but any of the other players, if they would have signed them, I would have been irate.
I would have been irate at Trav.
Yep. I would have. He had one
That's
good
six
year.
Million a year?
He had one good year, and he was still feast or famine.
Agreed.
I want my receivers that I know every Sunday if they're going to catch five balls. Travis Benjamin would catch two touchdowns, and then he'd go on a vacation for a month.
I thought when he did coming back, the way he came back, it was good. $6 million, that's a lot to me. Again, I like Rishard Matthews, went up signing for about five in Tennessee. Reuben Randall is still out there. Maybe he's this year's Michael Crabtree. Maybe Reuben Randall is the guy that we could get later.
Oh, Reuben Randall, I think, is solid.
All right, Reuben
What's
Randall.
What's he going for?
He's not getting, I don't know. He's the one guy that's out there. He has not been that great, okay, for his career. He did a good job getting the end zone. Eight touchdowns last year, 797 yards on 57 catches. He's never had a 1,000-yard season. Last year was his biggest touchdown. He just isn't a guy that has been overwhelmingly efficient.
He has not been consistent.
He has been, you know, opposite Odell Beckham.
Yeah, I'm not
with
saying
Eli
want,
Manning.
I'm not saying I want to pay a lot of money for him.
No, but he's a guy that you could get a look.
You know, million, $2 million bucks, fine. I'd rather have him for $1 million or $2 million than Benjamin for six.
Yes.
And I know people say, oh, you got to spend the money, but you still have to have your core philosophies that, you know, certain guys are worth certain things.
Certain guys are worth certain things. Correct. 216-578-0850. Jake in Dayton. Jake, welcome.
Hey.
Yes.
Long-time listener, big fan of the show. I just wanted to call and say that I 100% agree with you guys on the built through the draft concept. And Nathan, I don't blame you at all for any of the
thank you
occurrences so far. I sent you the smooth face just to let you know. I don't blame you.
Thank you. Well, it was right back at you.
I knew the city had some love for you, Nate.
Oh yeah, but let me say this. This is the way I think about it. We have one integral piece in place that no one is praising so far, and it's something that we haven't had in a long time. And in the past, I would be terrified to draft a quarterback at the top, you know, two pick. I'm like, dude, take the best player available. You know, I don't want to bust the quarterback. But just Hugh Jackson, man, he's got me so optimistic. You know, just having him there, you know, get the quarterback, you know, in the right place. I just feel like he's that integral piece that we've needed. And then with the quarterback in place, you guys have said it all along, get Jared Goff in there. Get him in the system, and then everybody else will flourish. I mean, you know, you said it, you know, the offensive line, you know, let's not confuse ourselves here. The offensive line is tremendous, you know, but they haven't had the right pieces in place, and I just feel like everything will fall in place behind the head coach.
I think you're right. We've got the right coach now. Give him the quarterback that he wants to work with, and let's go. 216-578-0850. Take more of your calls when we return on CBD here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Oh, don't you dare look back.
Just keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding back. She said, shut up. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to the Cleveland Browns. I don't know if you had a dump that there, Dino, but kid getting fired up in here. 216-578-0850. Dino the Trucker, welcome.
Dino.
How are we doing today, fellas?
Good. How are you?
Good, buddy.
Fine. Well, the saga ends. No more Johnny to worry about, huh?
Yes, it is over.
I got a comment to make about the lineman that left.
Sure, go ahead.
You know, they really didn't pseudo stellar performance last year to even justify. I really don't think Mitchell Schwartz was personally worth what he was going to get, 7.5 per year. If I'm not mistaken, that's what you said yesterday. I don't think he was. I don't think he was worth it.
I'm with you, Dino.
You know, he just wasn't worth it. I mean, they weren't protecting the quarterback. They weren't giving the running backs any chance to make give them a little bit of a hole. I mean, it's the line's pretty bad.
Our line has not played to the level that it was supposed to play. I don't disagree with you at all.
You know, and Joe Thomas, I mean, he's still pretty solid, but he's getting up there in the years. So they're gonna have some issues on the front end. You know, I mean, there's no doubt about it.
And as we talked about, the best way to combat that is getting the football out.
Yep.
Getting it out quickly.
That's the problem. Now, what do we do? Do we find a mobile quarterback like in Colin Kaepernick?
No, you want a guy who's in the pocket and gets rid of it quickly.
Right. So that's what we're going to have to concentrate on.
I agree with you.
And I don't, you know, I still want to say this, you know, before I hang up, that even though, I mean, if it's true that Colin Kaepernick reached out to us, that's a good sign, because at least we're getting players that do want to come. If it's from Hugh Jackson, I welcome it, because that's what we need. Hugh Jackson's going to be the one that's going to inspire the culture back into this franchise. He's the one that's going to do it. He really is.
We certainly hope so, and definitely appreciate the phone call, Dino. Ladies and gentlemen, Johnny in Westlake.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Johnny. Johnny, how are you?
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Too sweet to be sour. Feel the power, Matt Wilhelm, of the new day.
That's right. Hey, guys, I was just having a conversation with my buddy last night, and it almost blows my mind how relevant the Browns are to the movie Moneyball right now. I'm sure you guys have seen it, but if you really think about it, it's almost entertaining to watch, because you just hope that we get some sort of the same result, right?
Yes, we would take that. We would take that, although I want the Browns to actually win the big one. As I grew up in the Bay Area, so as an A's fan on the East Bay, and they always were competitive, they didn't put over the top. Now, the difference is here, everybody's playing on the same playing field. So if you can exploit some inefficiencies, it could be very, very good.
Absolutely, and you really think about it, we lose our Mac, we lose our Schwartz. It's like losing our Giambi and Damon. Now we just remember in the movie when you lose Damon and they lose Giambi, and then we lose Mac and we lose Schwartz. You know, we lose two of our biggest guys. Now it's up to us. It's up to the organization to find those replacements in the best
way. To draft well. This is all going to come down to how they draft. All of it.
Absolutely.
That's what it's going to come down. Absolutely. Appreciate the call. Thank you very much, Johnny. We didn't know which Johnny we were getting for a second.
I thought it was Johnny Smoke, an old friend of the program.
Maybe because of today, he should have gone by John.
John.
Just because.
That's right. Dennis in Willowick, welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, and you?
Good. Is there any chance, I don't know if he's re-signed with them, is there any chance that Phil Dawson would come back here?
I'm sure there is. Now, Travis Coons has been tendered and will sign his tender, so he'll be here. Phil Dawson is possible. The question becomes, do you end up paying, you know, given where the Browns are, do you pay a veteran kicker at this point? You know? I think that's really what the question will be.
And I would imagine
probably not.
The answer is no. Unless you're a Super Bowl winning team or competing at that level, get yourself a kicker that's going to be competent. Try to find a guy out of college and bring in four college guys and let them battle it out with Travis Coon and do it that way.
Which is what we did last training camp.
And I mean, if you look, I would do the same thing if you ever need a punter. Uh-huh. You know, you can always find those guys in college.
I think the great punters are huge difference makers. I think these kickers nowadays are all pretty darn good.
Okay, so tell me who's a big the guy from Oakland, is that one punter that you'd like?
Well, he moved on, Shane Leckler. No, Marquise King.
Now in Houston.
Who's down? He's about Marquise
King.
We've
got a great punter here in Cleveland.
Andy Lee.
Yeah, I mean, he's good, but I mean, I don't remember.
Look at what we did.
I don't remember him changing too many games for us. No, no offense, man. But
go to Brad in Strongsville now before the kid gets out of control. What's up, Brad?
Hi. So I'm a a big time draft neck. I watch every snap I can find.
I love it.
I've watched all of Goff's snaps this year. I've watched as much of Wentz as I can. I can't believe Wentz is even considered as a first round pick. Goff gets my second highest grade of quarterbacks in the last 6 years. He is amazing. Wentz threw for 200 yards a game on a run-oriented team that didn't miss him when he was injured. Everybody wants to compare him to Flacco because Flacco came out of 1AA.
Flacco threw for 4,000 yards.
Yes, Flacco was a prolific passer. And right. Not only that, at the combine, Wentz had less velocity on his passes per the radar gun than Goff did. I mean, you know, for Goff is, I'm telling you, this guy had a poor offensive line.
Horrible.
His balance is amazing. And my two favorite quarterbacks the last 3 years, him and Jimmy Garoppolo, two of the quickest releases that will be in the NFL next year. And please, I'm praying that the Browns don't screw this up and skip on Goff. They might be playing up this Wentz to make sure that San Francisco doesn't jump in front of them at number one.
That's a rumor that I've heard from some people. And that's how, you know, the thing like the bad Goff interview gets out there potentially. I don't know what the deal is, but I'm with you. Obviously, I've said it all along. I'm with you on Goff and for the reasons you said. I find for me, and I've only been, I would say, really watching tape since the 2014 draft in terms of like quarterbacks to study them coming out of college. I used to watch a lot of pro games, but not college. I find it for me hard to evaluate Carson Wentz because you watch his tape. His team is just that much better than the people they're playing. His receivers are that open. His guys are so open that he doesn't even have to be good on his out placement. He throws his outs up the field a lot of the time, which in the NFL would be, as we talked about, a 50-50 ball or a pick or worse. I find his tape difficult to evaluate. People in the NFL have always, always valued, as you know, measurables, size, speed, combinations of things like that. And I would think that it would be a very, very interesting thing when you look at going ahead and trying to project a guy like Wentz. He's got the size. He's got the speed. He's got the athleticism. He's got the arm. He's got all those things that jump off at you. But can he actually play quarterback? And that's what teams are going to really have to find out. That's what they're going to find out. I like Goff. I know Goff can play quarterback. Could Wentz be better than Goff? Yes, because if he capitalizes on all his gifts, he has gifts that Goff just doesn't have.
But I think that's further down the road.
But at the same time, too, who would you say are the best quarterbacks in the NFL? Just real quickly, like your
Brady, Rodgers,
Brady, Manny, Rodgers, Roethlisberger,
Cam.
Okay, Cam is the one who does it with just pure athletic gifts, right?
Although when he really took it to another level is when he started. I mean,
becoming
he's,
more proficient
he's
from the pocket.
In the game, yeah.
Yes. But that's why he can get as good as he did because he has those athletic gifts and he was able to get good from the pocket. He's capitalizing on all the aspects of it. Okay, Tom Brady will never be confused with having the best physical traits of anybody in the league.
No.
Peyton wouldn't have been confused with having the best physical traits of anybody in the league. I don't think Aaron Rodgers may be the best thrower of the football, but he doesn't have the best physical traits in the National Football League at the quarterback position.
He's a little bit better. He's more athletic than the first two you mentioned.
A little bit, but he's not a huge guy. He's not a giant man.
No.
You know?
He's fast.
He's quick. Quicker than fast. 6'2", 220. Aaron Rodgers. Best quarterback in the league. 6'2", 220. So, Drew Brees, not a physical traits guy at all.
Right, but let's stop. I mean, that's where us former Johnny apologists were trying to say, oh, he's the same size as Drew Brees.
Size, but he wasn't the same player because it's between the ears. That's the whole point.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying Brees is an outlier.
He is. To be
but those other guys, Goff is bigger than Brees. I mean, Goff is the same size as a lot of those other guys
Goff's
you mentioned.
6'4". People are we're acting like Jared Goff is like a guy who's playing football at the YMCA. By the way, that guy Huertas from the Lakers last night looked like he should be playing pickup at the JCC, and he was tooling on Delly.
I got to say, I was very happy with Kyrie's defense is starting to become from awful to just
bad.
We've
got to get a break.
Take
Jim
a break.
Donovan.
Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, coming up next.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Let's go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline and bring in the voice of the Cleveland Browns for the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Mr. Jim Donovan. Jim, how are you?
I am good. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. It's happened. He is no longer a Cleveland Brown. Your thoughts?
Well, I'll tell you what. I was in the crowd with a lot of other people that I was really excited a couple of years ago on that draft night when the Browns made that move and drafted him, because he captivated me every Saturday afternoon. I would try and get to a television set and watch him play in the SEC at Texas A&M, and I marveled that day that he beat Alabama at Tuscaloosa, so I was all in. But he really wore us all out. I mean, he has worn everybody out. He wore the fans out. He wore the media out. He wore everybody out in Berea. He wore the coaching staff out, the security people out. He just wears you out. And on the other side of that, there's no payback. I mean, there's, you know, you're not paid back with wins, I guess, you know, and good play and improving play. So I just think it's a good day to cut the ties with him and, you know, put him in your rearview mirror and you know, see how he does, but move forward with him not in your mirror any longer.
I absolutely agree, Jim. And just hearing some of the other shows that are out there and some of the pulse of the fans, what's your make of the Cleveland Browns doing everything they can over the last, say, 48 hours almost to try to, you know, garner up some type of interest so they weren't on the hook for the $4-plus million they'll pay him over the next 2 years, and otherwise not just coming outright at 401 and cutting him at that point?
You know, I had never thought about the option. I think I had never thought that there was going to be a trade partner, because I think everybody seemed to feel that it was just so definitive that the Browns were going to get rid of him that maybe you just wait them out. But I totally understand. I didn't think it was the Browns backing off their stance on Manziel and kind of weakening up on those strong words of, hey, you know, that kind of behavior is not going to be tolerated here any longer. I didn't think the Browns had caved in at all. So I just think that, yeah, I mean, they held on to him for 48 hours, and they, you know, with the quarterback market shifting around a little bit with what's gone on in Denver and then Osweiler going to Houston and some other situations, yeah, I think that it didn't penalize them at all, and I don't think it compromised, you know, their morals as far as what they want to do in their new program inside that building. So it didn't, you know, I know that people thought 401, there was going to be that major announcement on Wednesday afternoon. But really, when you take a step back, why not hold on to him for a couple of days and see what you can get? I think everybody still knew that the end of the equation was going to be that he was not going to be here any longer.
And clearly, that time has now come and gone. You know the voice, Jim Donovan from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. Jim, when you look at the start of free agency, and obviously the Browns didn't sign anybody early, that wasn't a surprise. Maybe it was a surprise to some, though, that all four of the big-name free agents ended up elsewhere. Your thoughts on the start of this free agency period?
Well, you know, Nathan, I think as time went on and we got closer to the deadline of March 9th and the opening of the new business year, I think that when you didn't see those free agents that were with the Browns coming to any kind of concrete deals, you know, I think the reality was that they were going to hit the open market and they were going to go. I mean, maybe one of them. I thought maybe one would stick around and stay here. And I had targeted myself, and I know that when I was with you a couple of weeks ago, I mean, I really felt that Mitchell Schwartz was the kind of player that could stay here and do very well here and had really learned the NFL game here. And so he would move, you know, forward. And I was hoping that they would get a deal done with him. The other guys, not so much. I mean, I was a little surprised because, I mean, a few weeks before the season ended, it really seemed like Benjamin was very close or on his way to getting a deal done here, but obviously that didn't happen. So the startling thing is, knowing that you kind of think that the end result is going to be that these guys are going to leave, the startling thing, though, is watching them leave. You know, in a half-hour time, maybe one guy signs here, another guy signs here, and it continues, and Bottomosi goes last night. And so when you're watching people walk out the door and you're not watching new people walk in, then I understand it's a little bit startling because you say, okay, what's going on? But I'm going to, you know, just defer and say I think that they understand what they want to do, and I'm going to trust in them that they have a plan, and that, you know, the worst thing to have, and we've had it a lot, and a lot of teams do it, but we've definitely had it here in Cleveland, is when you have buyer's remorse after you give a guy a ton of money in free agency and it doesn't pan out. I mean, that's a bad feeling. Everyone can recite Dwayne Bowe's guaranteed money, but, you know, because Dwayne Bowe did not, you know, play last year and he didn't contribute last year. So that's the worst feeling to have.
It certainly is. And Jim, what did you make of the story about how the Mitchell Schwartz negotiation ultimately went down, and it seemed that, you know, the Browns had given him an offer that was better than anything he ultimately ended up getting, but that by the time he came back, the Browns had basically given him a take it or leave it offer, that that's kind of the way that things will operate here going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I was. It seems as though the Browns, you know, have figures and have contractual numbers in mind for players and positions, and it seems as though they're going to stick to those, and they're going to draw a hard line on those. You know, Nathan, I listened to Mitchell Schwartz the other night. It was really interesting in the lead-up to the deadline, and he was on his brother Jeff's podcast.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, you know, what it was like to play for the Browns and how he loved playing for Kyle Shanahan 2 years ago when they had that, you know, outside zone scheme blocking, you know, blocking scheme on the offensive line, and it was doing so well. And he enjoyed playing in it, and, you know, he just really enjoyed the way Kyle Shanahan said, listen, this is what you're going to do. You're going to learn how to do it. You're going to get really good at it, and people are going to have a tough time stopping us. Very simplistic, but he enjoyed it, and he said the offensive line enjoyed it. And how much he really didn't enjoy playing on the offensive line last year, because the Browns were really searching for what they wanted to do. And it was going to be different than, you know, what Shanahan had done 2 years ago. So I kind of got the feeling there that, you know, he was a bit, now this is going to be different this year. But, I mean, he was worried about, you know, what had happened last year. But it seemed as though he really liked Cleveland. He loved that offensive line group. But I think the Browns have, you know, come up with money numbers on positions and what they're worth, and that's what they're going to assign to those kind of players. And you know, they're not going to vary too much from that.
No, you're absolutely right, Jim. And we've referenced, you know, Mitchell Schwartz. You talked about the other guys walking out and no one walking in. You know, as you entered free agency personally, were there any names or positions that you would have liked out there that, of course, signed other places that you would have liked the Cleveland Browns to have been a little bit more active in maybe overpaying slightly to bring them here and add them to the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I was interested in, naturally, the wide receiver position, Matt. I mean, you know, and because we see Cincinnati so often, twice a year, and we, you know, and obviously with Hugh Jackson coming here, there just seemed to be you were able to draw a line between Cincinnati and Cleveland Bengals players coming to play for their old coach, and you know, even more so, an offensive player coming. So, yeah, Marvin Jones, Mohamed Sanu interested me a great deal. It did kind of bother me a little bit when Calvin Johnson made it official the other day that he was going to retire, and you knew then that the market for Marvin Jones was probably going to get a little bit tougher to win that marketplace, because he was going to even get more interest for a team, you know, and eventually he does go to Detroit. So the wide receiver, the wide receiver position just seemed to be the one that I thought that the Browns might be able to go out and get. And yeah, those players, because of the familiarity that they have with Hugh Jackson and what he wants to do, I thought that that might have been a fit.
Yeah, and those wide receivers, guy who had never eclipsed 800 yards receiving, Marvin Jones got $8 million a year. Mohamed Sanu getting $7 million a year. Kind of mind-boggling numbers there for those guys at the wide receiver position. Now, one guy still out there is Reuben Randle, who's had some success with the New York Giants. He probably is the best of the guys still available at the wide receiver position. But
he was the guy, Nathan, I remember a couple of years ago, he was the guy when he first came out. And I know that this particular place that I'm going to describe can become very populated at times, but I think he was a doghouse guy with Tom Coughlin early on in his years with
yes,
the Giants.
Yes, he was.
Coughlin did not really enjoy the way he was playing or what the effort level or whatever. But, that is a name out there.
That would be it at the wide receiver position. Jim, as we kind of move forward here today and start to look at this Browns team and the way that it's going, what are you the message you think that is being sent and the expectations that you have for this season?
Well, I think they're trying to really build their own team. I mean, when you look at what's left and walked out this week and, you know, nobody so far coming in, obviously the next thing you would say is that they're putting a priority level that's definitely lower than other teams do. I think the Browns realize, you know, they're not a player or two away. And sometimes that's what you do in free agency. If you're a player or two away, and you have the cap room, then you go out and you tweak your roster. But,
sure,
you know, we are in a much different situation here. I think the roster's being totally rebuilt. And with all of those draft picks coming up, that's where the foundation of it is going to be. And I think, you know, they're going to try and just reshape the roster. And to
clearly
do that, and I think you have to go back to that press conference right after the Steeler game on the announcement of Ray Farmer and Mike Tettman being released from their positions, when Jimmy Haslam said, "Hey, listen, I got to be really honest with you here. You know, I apologize for what has happened, and we haven't gotten this right." But then the second thing was, you know, we are in a complete rebuild here, and
yep,
it's going to take some time. And I think that's, you know, that's what they're doing. I mean, it is going to take some time. I think it's going to be, you know, it's going to be their roster as quickly as they can do it. And the way to do that is to have a lot of room on the roster to bring in the kind of players that they want. And they will truly be their players, I would assume. I mean, if you go back a couple of years ago when Seattle and Pete Carroll did it, you know, and they really turned their roster and flipped it around and made it their roster, and they connected in the draft and in the late rounds of the draft. Yeah,
that's,
and that
the
was the key. And then they were able to control the roster, you know, for as long as they could, you know, for like 2 or 3 years after that.
All right, Jim, real quickly before we, because we got to wrap up with you here, Colin Kaepernick, yay or nay?
Well, the key there, I guess, the key to me is Hugh Jackson really as enamored with him as some people report that he is? If he is, I say, let's go. But if he isn't, then I say, if we're going to do this thing with the roster, then let's go get our quarterback,
yep,
and grow him ourselves. I guess
yeah,
that's where I'm leaning, Nathan, is that I just still think that with that, you know, that number two pick, that there's an opportunity clearly to get your guy with a coach that can do it at that position and grow your own guy.
Absolutely, Jim. Couldn't agree more. Appreciate the time as always.
Thank you, Jim.
And
we get to talk to you both.
One last topic to discuss going forward for the Browns.
Absolutely.
The great Jim Donovan. We'll be back wrapping up with our final thoughts here on the show today.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Big show today, guys. Johnny Manziel release. We get a call from our man Paulo down in Brazil. We're going to go party at Carnival when the Browns win a Super Bowl with him.
Let's not demean my public service message either.
Your public service message, which
take
got
it
you
easy
what?
On Nate.
Which got you what? Like 800 Twitter followers?
No.
17?
I'm up to 14.
How many people do you have total?
No, I mean, I'm up to 14 total is what
no,
I mean.
You're, that's wrong. That's wrong.
I don't know. 300.
300 people have dedicated their lives to following the kid's words on Twitter. At DAKID97, you could be lucky number 301. You should have a giveaway.
320, I actually
320.
Have.
If you get to 400, will you take somebody to lunch one-on-one?
I will see.
The 400th follower could go to lunch.
The 400th follower, and they'll get an autographed Matt Wilhelm photo.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you'll take them on a – will you take them on a gumball tour of Cleveland?
I will if they're willing to go to the gumball – capital of Cleveland, I will take them.
Why wouldn't they be? That'll do it for us here today. We appreciate everybody being with us. Of course, Jim Donovan. Of course, the kid, Matt Wilhelm. By the way, kid, first golf of the year this weekend. Matt Wilhelm, you want to play some golf this weekend?
Yeah, I don't know what I got going. I got indoor flag football
force
for my son on Saturday.
We know the force people.
Got a coach.
All right. The Johnny era is over. Next week, full steam ahead. Maybe we'll have a free agent. I don't know. Maybe we won't. But we'll be moving full steam ahead here on Cleveland Browns Daily.
On ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.